Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
We're going to continue our looking at Ephesians. Paul writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. Again, we're not 100% sure it was actually Paul, not 100% sure it was actually to the church in Ephesus, but last week I commented, I don't think it really matters because at elements of the conversation, I am Paul. At elements of the conversation, you are the Ephesians. So we're going to go with that logic. Last week I gave you a rule. How many that were here last week remember what the rule was? Okay, it was love your congregation where they are. Love your congregation where they are. Now, for those of you that have looked at the bulletin, you may have an idea of what the rule is today. And it's this idea about be grateful and remember those who have gone before us. I love it when the church year and how we put it together sort of coincides. I didn't pick this out because of July the 4th. I just picked it. I just thought it worked for how we were going to go through Ephesians. And lo and behold, this scripture gets placed here before us on July the 4th. I imagine the element of remembering the past. Grace can do a lot of that with her 5-minute and 15-second national anthem. But we're not going to do that here. I'm on Ephesians 2, verses 11 to through 22. And those of you who like to read along with me, I'm on page 192 and 193 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. 2, 11 through 22. And I may, as is my style, stop and pause a little bit here. At the first, listen for the word remember. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity. One new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. That's the cross. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Paul is dealing here in this particular letter, in this particular section, by trying to remind them as to what it is to truly be a Christian. And it's a first century. We're talking about probably 75, 80 or so AD. And they're still locking it down. They're still getting it formulated. They're still getting to a place where it starts to make some sense for them. And he's trying to remind them that they need to remember certain things that are important, and they stand on the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles that have gone on before. Those are important things for them to remember. It's this bringing into the present these ancient words and helping us understand what the future is going to look like from that. That's the task. And so what is it to be a Christian here is that he, in this particular portion, one of the things he's laying out there is to remind yourself that you came from disparate elements. You came from different places. You came from multiple locations, and you're brought together by the sacrifice of Christ. And you're brought together in such a way, and the foundation in which the cornerstone is Jesus, and the foundation in which you're operating from is the words of the prophets and the apostles that have gone on before. I think it's a great scripture for us as we sit here on this eve of the 4th of July. Because on the 4th of July, we ought to really stop and reflect on these ancient words and how they impact in our present and help us lead to a future. Now, I'm mindful of the fact that for many people, the 4th of July is a chance to go skiing, water skiing on the lake, a chance to drink a beer, horrors, right? Maybe eat a hot dog, go to a baseball game. God approves of baseball. But go to a baseball game, something like that. But I would submit to you that it's also important for us to stop and ask ourselves this question on this national birthday of what is it to be an American? What is it to truly be an American? And it's a good thing for us to stop and sometimes ask that question. I mean, Paul's asking here, what is it to be Christian? I would say asking ourselves, what is it to be American, is an important question that we need to do on this day. And going back to ancient words in the formation of the country is part of what we are encouraged to do. Now, in my last 2 or 3 years, I have read an awful lot about Hamilton, I've read an awful lot about Thomas Jefferson, I've read an awful lot about John Adams, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm not really sure I like Thomas Jefferson very much. But we say on the 4th of July, Jefferson's words, but the reality is we live in Hamilton's country. We live in Hamilton's country, all right? We don't live in the country that Jefferson advocated. And the words that he used on that 4th of July were borderline aspirational. They were aspirational because as he would offer this idea of the fact that all men are created equal, there was a third of the population was in bondage. Women had no vote. And if you were a white male, except in Pennsylvania, you had no vote unless you owned land. The only place you could vote if you were a white male, was Pennsylvania. Whether that was the influence of the Quakers or whether it was the influence of Ben Franklin, it's hard to tell. So as those aspirational words were being said, the country didn't actually live like those aspirational words were. But we're growing into it. We were clearly empty then, but we're getting more to being half full to where we are. But the words that have been offered by some of these men, and the one I'm going to give you here are all men, so I'm going to get, as I give you your quiz, you can know right away that this is not Dorothy Day, for example. But if I give you a quote, tell me who you think the quote was from. And the first one I think is real easy. With malice toward none, with charity to all. Sorry? Lincoln, very good. I was prepared to be overwhelmed here with people saying, Lincoln. Okay, well, we only got one on Lincoln there. These next one may be a little bit harder. This one used to be on the sign in Richard Nixon's office when he was president, but that doesn't make it a bad quote. Okay, the credit belongs to the man in the arena. What? Teddy Roosevelt, exactly. This one maybe it's more contemporary, it's more in the second half of the 20th century. The gross national product does not allow for the health of our children, the quality of their education, or the joy of their play. Robert Kennedy said that, okay? And it was this measuring only things in terms of the gross domestic product, gross national product. Okay, and the last one might be easy because I just said we say Jefferson's words and we live in Hamilton's country. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility toward every form of tyranny over the mind of man. You got a 50-50 chance. I'm sorry? Jefferson. Yeah, whoever, yeah, Jefferson, exactly right. And I don't know, a friend of mine sent me those as though they were his words that he tries to live by on a regular basis. I didn't read the one from Wilson. I figured that would be too obscure for you. But nonetheless, it's important for us to take those ancient words and bring them into our present and help us understand what the future is. And I want to come back now to the Ephesians, is the fact that we're invited to understand that we are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. All right? That knows no national boundary. That knows no national boundary. Now, for those of you that were here 6 years ago today, that's hard to believe that 6 years ago today was my first Sunday at Hilltop. Some of you may be going, amen, and some of you may be going, can this be over? But nonetheless, it was July the 1st, and I used that particular sermon to talk about an idea that I believe very firmly, which is on this idea of separation of church and state. Church informs the state. The church's values inform the state. You look back to who was silent in World War II in Germany. The church was silent, and the state got away with some horrendous crimes because the church stayed silent. And it's important for us to remind ourselves that we are citizens in this community that's called the church. We're called upon to do that. And we need to remember what God calls us to do. Now, last week I sprinkled some water on you, and I said, remember that you are baptized and be grateful. Remember that you are baptized and be thankful. That was what the word I said. In a few minutes, we're going to move to a remembrance kind of event. We're going to go to communion. And part of the element of this idea of communion is to bring the past into the present so we can anticipate the future. We remember the past in such a way that it helps us be better Christians. It makes us be better people in all that we do. It's this ancient future idea that we invoke. And part of this is, again, there's symbols. There's symbols here. This symbol, for example, is the fact that I'm yoked. I'm yoked to Christ. I'm yoked to Christ in such a way that I am in service to Christ. And I've got little badges on here, help me remember various things out there, to help me remember important things. This is from Israel. It was from the wailing wall. They sell these, and it's a Jewish prayer shawl. And people use these to help remember who they are and whose they are. I would say to you that this important opportunity we have this coming Wednesday, right? Wednesday's 4th of July? Wednesday is a chance for us to stop and pause and remember what it is to be a Christian in this nation. Good theology should lead to good civics. Good theology should lead to good civics. I have been somewhat silent from a publishing perspective on some of the hoorah that's gone on over the last 10 days over the nature of how we're handling children at the border, all right? And I declined to sign a petition to the, a letter, excuse me, to the Salt Lake Tribune because it was focused on the U.S. Supreme Court. It was focused on the U.S. Supreme Court and what they have done and have not done as it relates to monitoring our president, okay? And I declined to sign because I wanted to have good theology but lead to good civics. I don't think the issue is the Supreme Court. I think the issue is the legislative and executive branches of our country. That's where I think the problem lies. The Supreme Court, for them, I think the law that they concurred in on Wednesday, which was the Trump versus Hawaii, was, I think it's legal. Now, is it distasteful? Yes. Okay. But that's a separate question. Is it legal? And so we need to keep using our theology to inform our civics. We don't use our civics to inform our theology. It doesn't work backwards. It works the other way. It works from our theology, frames who we are and whose we are, just as Jefferson did on that 4th of July in 1776. He frames for us our aspirational document of what it is that we say we are. What is it to be an American? You believe these things. What is it to be a Christian? To be a Christian, to be a person of faith, trumps, if I can use that word, trumps what it takes to be an American. Your theology should always inform your civics. That was a synopsis of what I said some 6 years ago, and I haven't changed on it any, even though we've changed presidents. I want to wrap up with some words that I used to the scouts back in March of this year, and I said the following words to the scouts that particular day, scout leaders that day. Scouting leaders are in the future's business. This is sacred, holy work. I did that because a friend of mine, who's now a Methodist pastor, was running a Mother's Morning Out program. And when she was running that program, she would go meet people in the greater Washington area over canapes and wine, and they would ask her, what did she do? And she would say, I run a Mother's Morning Out program. And they would immediately move on to go talk to someone else, because obviously she's unimportant. Okay? Finally, she started, people ask her, what do you do? She said, I'm in the futures business. I'm in the futures business. We in the church are in the future's business. We use the past to help us understand what it is to be. But we don't stay there. We use those words, our understanding of those words, in order to help us cast a vision for the future. We should always use our theology to help make for good civics. This coming Wednesday, I would hope that as we stop and pause and remind ourselves who we are and whose we are, we remember the ancient words that have been said that affect us, and remember those words, they can be women's words too, and use those words to help us understand what it is to be a good citizen of this country, a good citizen of this world, and a person who seeks the common good for all.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.